ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. I want to read verses 48 through 54 of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I'm going to stop right there. Because this chapter is just plumb full of stuff. This is the sermon, the testimony of Stephen, who had been chosen by the assembly as the way they talk about it, as sort of a deacon. They'd been having problems. Some people said their wives and their widows weren't taken care of, and the apostles told them, you know, we're kind of busy right now with the word of God. Pick somebody and appoint them to do this. Now, it says Stephen did wonders and miracles. He was a man full of faith of the Holy Ghost. A believer. And this is one of the fellows they picked. And there were certain religious people, Jews, who had a problem with Stephen and what he said. And they sought to dispute with him. Now it says they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They couldn't out-argue it. They didn't like what he said. They didn't want to hear what he said. So guess what happened? They lied about him. They lied about him. Why? Because he spoke the truth according to the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, which is what they had at the time. They lied about him, they cheated, they accused him of blasphemy, and they set up false witnesses against him. They had others lie about him too. Welcome to religion. If the world, and the religious world in particular, won't have you, it's okay for them, to tell any manner of lie about you. Yeah. It says here in the scripture sometimes, it says, they'll think if they kill you, they are doing God a favor. That's the way their mind works. And that's the hatred they have toward God. Yeah. And that's the hatred they have toward the Christ of the Bible. Not their own Christ, not their own Jesus, but the Jesus spoken of, written of in this book. They'll think it's okay to lie about you just to discredit you because of what you say. and because of who you preach.
Yep.
That's what they did to Stephen here. This chapter starts off with those accusations having been made. And then to the high priest, and the high priest asked Stephen, he says, are these things so? And Stephen starts preaching. And he starts in the Old Testament. He starts with Abraham in Mesopotamia and goes through Moses and, basically the whole story of coming out of Egypt. He took the scriptures and spoke the truth about those scriptures. He told them their own history, how God saved his people in spite of themselves. Yeah. In spite of the people's rebellion. And he told them that their fathers killed the prophets. Most prophets in the Old Testament didn't die in bed. They didn't die of old age. Some of them we have their end, some of them we don't. A couple of them were taken up. But most of them didn't die in bed, it doesn't seem. But Stephen took the rebellion that this book is full of and laid it personally. You people are exactly the same as your fathers. There's no difference in man from 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, to right now, this day. There have been people who have threatened to kill us. Myself and Walter personally, and you by representation probably, and maybe yourself. They want us dead because of what we say. Mm-hmm. That's what they wanted with Stephen, and that's what happened to Stephen. But he said this one statement here in verse 51, and that's what I want to kind of concentrate on. And it's a familiar statement, I hope. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers, so ye. This is actually, I did not know this, Walter. I've been told this. This is actually a scripture that people use to say that God's grace is not irresistible. See, these guys resist the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Did you miss the first part of the verse? That's my question. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Yeah.
If you're in that condition, the irresistible grace of God has not come to you.
Amen.
To me, that's a base definition of being unregenerate.
Yeah. Sure.
Dead in trespasses and in sins.
Yeah.
And you will always resist the Holy Spirit if you're dead and in your trespasses and in sins, and you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. That's the definition of depravity. You will. No man can. And you will always. So if you want to use that as, oh, well, they resist the Holy Ghost, you can do it. No, you always do. That kind of leaves no hope if it's not for irresistible grace. Resting the scriptures to their own damnation. That's what it is. But that surprised me because I read that and you see who it's talking about, the unregenerate. Because if you're not stiff-necked, if you are circumcised in heart and ears, you will not resist the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You may not be always happy with what the Holy Ghost reveals to you, but you're going to know it. And you will be brought to believe it and love it and love Him of whom the Holy Ghost is teaching. But what I wanted to talk about a little bit was stiff-necked in this part, because I was stiff-necked. I was unregenerate in heart and ears, uncircumcised in heart and ears. I was, but I'm not now. And you're not now either, if you know Him. But I got to thinking about this yesterday, the day before, and a little bit the day before. But I've woken up with a stiff neck. And Stephen's not pulling this out of the air. This is what God told Moses the people were like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Stephen's just not making this up. God told Moses. When Moses told God, although Moses found out, God told Moses, this is a stiff-necked people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've woke up with a stiff neck before. So I get the allegory. Because I've gotten up out of bed and you get up and you go like this. Oh. And you try not to move. Because movement hurts when your neck is stiff. And you can't turn your head side to side. You can't do anything but basically kind of turn your body and you walk real slowly. And you're moving like this. And you kind of look like a zombie. First thing in the morning, when you wake up with a stiff neck. Because there's one place where you can kind of keep it and it doesn't hurt. You try to put that neck anywhere else, move that neck, turn your head, it hurts. It hurts. And while you're doing this, you're looking this direction or whatever direction your head is stuck in. You can't see one thing to the side or the other to the side. All you can see is what you can see right ahead of you. You can't turn without pain. There's no way to do it. And the thing is, you don't know how important to the rest of your body that your neck is until it's stuck in one place. You wake up and your neck doesn't move. Or it hurts when you move, you start to realize, gee, this neck really come in handy yesterday. I found this out when I had my kidney surgery originally. The doctor told me not to try to drive a car for 3 weeks. And I thought, well, you know, my car was up in the driveway, Debbie's way. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just back it out and put it down where she can park, you know, and it'll be, you know, out of the way. I got in there and I tried to turn my back and it did not work.
Mm-hmm.
You get up with a stiff neck, you can't turn it. You can't turn. You can only see straight ahead. And I'm going to tell you one other thing you can't do, and this is the most important thing. You cannot bow your head if your neck is stiff. And that's what these people were doing.
Yeah.
They would not bow.
Right.
To Christ. They would not bow to God. They would not bow to Him who gave His life for His people. When your neck's stiff, you're stuck. You're stuck. God's not stuck. You're stuck. And they will not bow to Him who is God. Your head won't move. your thoughts won't move. Nothing works right when your neck's stiff. Then he says, they are uncircumcised in heart and ears. I've heard some people talk, and I think kind of it was a reference about us, and they'll say, basically, or infer that we don't believe the gospel is necessary for salvation. And that's exactly the way they say it. And that is exactly not true.
Right.
We do believe the gospel is necessary for salvation. It is God's chosen way to reveal the truth to his people.
Right.
I believe wholeheartedly, firmly, and I believe Walter believes this also, and we do our best to teach it, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, that believeth. The gospel is not the power of God unto salvation to everyone who doesn't believe. I believe the gospel is necessary for salvation. I prefer to use the word conversion because I'm going to separate it. I do not believe the gospel is necessary for regeneration.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
If these people here that Stephen had been speaking to were circumcised in heart and ears, they wouldn't have been stiff-necked.
Right.
The cause of the stiff neck is the uncircumcised in heart and ears.
Yeah.
It's not your stiff neck causes your heart to be uncircumcised. No, you already got one of those.
Yeah.
The writer of Hebrews puts it, the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But to them it did not profit. It did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith's got to come first. Life comes first.
Right.
That was a good question that Earl got asked on the telephone that one day. What comes first, life or faith? Life always comes first. There's nothing without life other than death.
Death.
Without life, you are uncircumcised in heart and ears, and you will be stiff-necked, and you will not bow your head to God. And you cannot bow your head to God.
Right.
That's the problem with being stiff-necked. You can't do a lot of things. You can't turn your head. You can't bow it to him. Uncircumcised heart and ears hear nothing of the truth or receive nothing of the truth.
Amen.
And do not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't believe it.
Right.
The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, most people won't argue with you with that. But you know, they'll argue with the next part. Neither can he know them.
Right.
For they're spiritually discerned. And the natural man does not have the Spirit of God. That's the definition of the natural man. And he is what? Stiff-necked. Why? Because he's uncircumcised in heart and ears. Stiff-necked people cannot bow their head to Jesus Christ. Second Chronicles 30 and verse 8 put it this way. It says, now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were. That's Chronicles. That's way back there. Talking about the ones before them. Be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Now, this is kind of a strange scripture. And I'm sure I've read it before. I don't think I've ever read it out loud before, but I'm going to. Where I said, the reason they're stiff-necked is because they're uncircumcised in heart and ears. Well, that's actually from Deuteronomy. Chapter 10, verse 16. I'm going to read it. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked.
There you go.
The stiff neck is the result of the uncircumcised heart. See, people think they can fix their stiff neck and everything will be okay. No. There's a reason you got a stiff neck. For me in the morning, it's I slept in the wrong position, or I had the window open, I had a draft on, or whatever, it doesn't matter. The reason my neck is stiff here, and it used to be, was because my heart was uncircumcised and my ears were uncircumcised. That's where it all comes from. It comes from within. My problem is with me. It still is, but it's not the same problem, thankfully. My depravity is still here. But by his grace, I am no longer stiff-necked. But as Stephen was talking to these Jews who wouldn't believe, I thought of Isaiah. When he wrote, make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. That's what Isaiah said to do. God told Isaiah to do to the people. God does that? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He makes one vessel to honor. He makes another vessel to dishonor.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
These people were uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, I'm not saying they stayed that way, because I don't know. All I know is the condition where Stephen was talking to him right here, right now. There may have been some, because there was a young man there. There was a young man there by the name of Saul. And I thought about this yesterday when I was doing this. When Christ came to Saul and he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I don't know that this wasn't a prick. Because Saul was there and heard the truth of God from the mouth of Stephen and was consenting to his death at that time. But I can tell you this from experience. Your memory of what you used to be doesn't go away. Sometimes I wish it would, but it doesn't go away. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, was here, and at that time, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear. But it's still in there. Paul now realized what Stephen said was true. Because you look here, well, just for a minute, it's not that far, Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly.
Yeah.
And circumcision is that of the heart.
Amen.
In the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Amen.
Circumcision is that of the heart.
Yeah.
Paul wrote that. And as a young man, he was consenting to the death of Stephen.
Yes, he was.
But I wonder, Walter, if he didn't hear and remember what Stephen said.
Sure. Sure
he did. He persecuted the church. That was his big sorrow. I persecuted the church.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted being consenting to the death of Stephen. But Paul now realized what Stephen preached was true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, rich, poor, doesn't matter. If they're uncircumcised in heart and ears, they are stiff-necked.
Yeah.
And they're stuck the way they are, and they're going to be the way they are until the grace of God comes to them. That's the only hope we have. That's the only hope they have. That's the only hope there is Jesus Christ. Circumcision of the flesh never saved anyone.
Right.
I wrote down about seven things here, just to state them. The uncircumcised in heart and ears will always, always
right.
resist the Holy Ghost.
Right, always.
Always.
Right.
Walter, even if they spring up really fast.
Sure. Sure.
After hearing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get burned up.
Yeah.
Because if you ain't got no root, you got no foundation. And you ain't got no foundation, you don't know Christ. Because he is the foundation.
Yeah.
And no other foundation can anybody lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to have no root. The uncircumcised in heart and ears cannot understand the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And they will not and they cannot bow their head to Jesus Christ, who is God.
Yeah.
They can't. They might think they can, but they can't. And the reason they can't is they will not have this man to reign over them. They cannot have this man to reign over him. They can't stand this man who is God, who saves and damns as he pleases, who has done as he has willed among the armies of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can say unto him, what do you think you're doing? It's none of your business. It's God's business. He's purposed it, he's planned it, and he's done it. All according to his will. And guess what? He's still doing it all according to his will, not ours. In the Old Testament, the uncircumcised were said to be cut off, or shall be cut off, from their own people. And the uncircumcised cannot partake of the Passover. There's no Passover for the uncircumcised. What's that mean? That means you don't get passed over. Yeah. That means he don't see the blood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he don't pass over you. Because when I see the blood, I see the blood. We're in the house. The blood's on the outside. I don't have to see it.
Right.
He sees it. He passes over.
Yeah.
If you're uncircumcised, you're not getting passed over. because you're not partaking of the Passover lamb if you're uncircumcised. You don't know the Passover lamb if you're uncircumcised. No stranger shall eat of the Passover. Why? They're stiff-necked. They're stiff-necked. The circumcision of the flesh was a type of the circumcision made without hands. A circumcision of the heart and the ears. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Another thing Paul wrote, I wanted to turn there before I forget. Colossians chapter 2. Especially, I thought of this, Walter, after I got to where thinking Saul was there while Stephen was preaching this. And it's like, my goodness. Because then it seems like, and I can't even find it. I'm in the wrong place, sorry. Colossians. Yeah, that's what I said. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Let me find it. Get to the pages. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. All of us were uncircumcised at one time or another. But it's the uncircumcision of the heart. Circumcision made without hands in Christ that is needed. Life from God. Uncircumcised in heart and ears, you stiff neck. And the world won't hear you. The world will not hear you. And that goes double for the religious world. It does. It goes double for them. Walter, I was listening to one of your things there, and I still like what you said there. It says, they'll say, I can't believe that. It's what we just said. That's the truth. You can't believe it. If you're uncircumcised in heart and ears, you can't. But if you're circumcised in heart and ears, you will believe it. And you will love it. And you will love him who brought you to this. Who gave you this life. And if it doesn't come from him, you're not going to have it. Because the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God, and he cannot receive them. scriptures are plain. It's people that are crooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The scriptures are plain. We do believe in the preached gospel for salvation, mm-hmm. but not for regeneration.
No, not for regeneration.
For regeneration, what it takes is God coming to you while you're polluted in your own blood and looking at you and saying to you personally, live.
Amen.
And a preacher don't have to be within 50 miles of that.
Right.
Or 100 miles or 1,000 miles or anywhere nearby. But then God will see to it you hear
right.
the gospel
right.
for your conversion.
Amen.
For your belief, you will hear because he gave you ears to hear.
Right.
And he will send a man just like he sent Philip to that eunuch.
Right.
Just like he sent Peter to, what is it, Cornelius? Well, Cornelius' prayers were answered before Peter ever got there.
Right.
Amazing how that worked. No, that's God. Yeah, it is. It's amazing grace. And it's irresistible grace. Cornelius was not stiff-necked before Peter got there. Cornelius was not stiff-necked. He prayed to God. God heard it and answered him and sent him a man. And that man went, and that man didn't even get to finish his sermon, Walter. They were rejoicing before he got halfway done. Anyhow. Just be careful around stiff-necked people because they'll try and bite you. If they can get away with it, they'll do worse than that. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place which we've set aside to try to worship you, to proclaim you, and to hear you proclaim in spirit and in truth, your gospel, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, came and saved his people from their sins. He took them into his own body and bore their transgressions and their iniquities and their stripes. He took. And we are healed by him, in him, and for him. And in his name we pray.